Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Dieter Thurston, CEO of Sagassi. He started his career as a hardware design engineer using IMEC's visionary tools and design methodologies in the early days of silicon integration. Today, being CEO of Sagassi, a fast-moving creative technology company, is a perfect fit for Dieter, having worked in that space for several companies and well-rooted in the field of semiconductors. Thurston forever enjoys the magic of a motivated team. Welcome to the podcast, Dieter.
Hi, Dan. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So the first question I like to ask is, how did you get started in the semiconductor industry? I mean, do you have an interesting story to tell?
You've already covered some of that, in the sense that I started working at IMEC, and that was back in 1987, if I'm not wrong. And I really was intrigued with the potential that semiconductor technology could actually bring to society. At that point in time, in the region where I grew up in Flanders, and where Sagassi is actually still active, there was this initiative called the Third Industrial Revolution. It's quite different from where we're at today. We're talking about Industry 4.0 and all that. But even at that point in time, from a political perspective, there was a lot of attention to what chips technology could bring. There was a yearly event where students were invited to get to know the potential of chips and digital technology. And it really kind of enchanted me at that point in time. The reality is that when I was studying in high school, I wanted to become a teacher. But the prospects of having a job at that point in time in that field were very low. So then I went for engineering. That was my second choice. And during the engineering studies, really got convinced that semiconductors, digital technology was the way to go, and it would last the whole career. So that's where my choice comes from.
Oh, that's a good story. And what brought you to Sagassi?
That's another interesting one. I did some startup activity in my career. And back in 2008, when Hendrik and Philippe, who are the two founders of Sagassi, felt they were in need of a CEO right from the start of the company, they contacted me. And we started a conversation. And I think I gave them the best possible advice at that point in time, looking at the business plans that they had. And that was, you don't need a CEO at this point in time. You first need to get to your prototype and then your first sellable product. And from then onwards, grow the company. And perhaps at some point in time, there may be a need for a real CEO or a proper CEO. And they took that advice and they got started. And we got together on occasion, kept following up how Sagassi was doing. And then back in 2021, was the time when they really needed somebody who had gone through some of the motions of the industry, had been in a number of places and worked for a number of companies. And we got in contact again and we had the same discussion all over. And that was the point where they took me on board. And here I am. Now I'm CEO of Sagassi. Happy to be there. It's a great company. We're fast growing. It's a jolly bunch of people that is working here. And it's one of the best choices I've made. Yeah.
That is a good story. So what is the impact of the continuing growth of the semiconductor manufacturing side and on the specification side in EDA?
Yeah, that's the eternal question, the ongoing question. Moore's law is not dead yet, and it's being complemented by novel elements such as packaging, 3D packaging, chiplet technology and all that. So yes, on the manufacturing side, on the physical implementation side, things are growing and continuing to grow rapidly. Sagassi, on the other hand, is at the other side of the design spectrum. We're at the front end. We're at the part where designers capture their ideas, driving them towards that implementation. And there's obviously a huge impact there. The main thing is the dimensionality of what can be achieved in semiconductor manufacturing or in silicon technology keeps on growing. sub nano, but 2 nanometer kind of processes. There's a huge amount of functionality that you can package. And that means that even at the front end of the design, you have to factor that in. How am I going to manage that complexity? How am I going to come to terms with this? The other element I mentioned, the packaging element, actually brings together multiple technologies. Some dies are in digital, some dies are in analog processes, some dies are photonic dies and all that, which adds a completely other dimension to the problem at that stage. It's not something that Sigassi is working on, but it's clearly an evolution at the front end of design.
Right. So let's talk about AI a little bit. Sagassi specializes in front-end IDE tools, where there should be opportunities for AI. Where else is AI being developed in all the right places in EDA? I mean, where do you think AI could have the most impact?
Yeah, yet another very hot topic in our industry. Obviously, given what we just talked about, this increasing complexity, this increasing dimensionality, there's obviously a lot of hopes that are placed on AI as a technology to help human beings come to terms with all that complexity. Very clearly, AI has come to be in a number of waves, and the first waves that really resulted into something real, something working, has been the element of prediction and pattern recognition based on massive amounts of data that are available. And well, as you asked, where is it already being developed? That's already being developed, that's being introduced. In fact, it's already being used. And that is then more in the back end of the chip design flow, where that massive data is in fact available. You can work with it. And there, I think massive progress is being made in managing the complexity at that end using AI. But that's the, let's say, basic AI or the first embodiment of AI that's created any real value. Best to be compared, for instance, this is something everybody knows, with like image recognition, where we know AI engines can outperform medical professionals in terms of recognizing anomalies in pictures and all that. It's pretty much that kind of thing that actually works and that is being applied there. The next thing, more interesting, is obviously generative AI. And generative AI, no surprise, will impact the front end of design because that's where generation takes place. That's where generation of ideas takes place. And clearly, while Sigassi is active in that front end, this will have a major impact. Are we there yet? No, we're not. We also see quite a bit of conservatism with our customers. They're not wanting to embrace it at this point in time because of the newness, also because of this ominous thing of hallucinations that keeps hanging over generative AI. But that's quite an interesting element for Sigassi because our tool is a deterministic tool. As it is today, it's algorithmically based, it's deterministic, and it can go hand in hand with AI. It can provide the guardrails to AI engines to make sure that whatever they generate is in check with the context of the design, is in check with the language reference manuals, and all that. So it's really a very interesting evolution. It's definitely going to happen, and it's something we from Sigassi, from a company perspective, wholeheartedly embrace and want to push forward.
Right. So is there a convergence in the way ASICs and FPGAs are designed and verified in EDA?
These are two markets that Sigassi is effectively addressing, but the answer here would have to be a bit mixed. It's yes and no. Where FPGAs are growing bigger, and where that mainly is the logic fabric that is embedded in the FPGAs, it's a definite yes. All the issues related to timing, timing closure, all of these come back on both sides of the spectrum, whether it's ASIC or FPGA. However, we also see that bigger FPGAs are no longer pure FPGAs, if I may use that word. They become compositions of many specific blocks like DSPs, AI engines, obviously still a lot of CLBs, but also complemented with cores, whether it's RISC-V or ARM cores. And the design flows for these beasts is diverging, in fact, from what we see in the ASIC world. So it's a bit of a mixed picture. It's a yes and no.
Got it. So security and safety is a big topic on SemiWiki. Where does EDA stand with addressing functional safety and security vulnerabilities?
It's definitely a necessity for both of these attributes. Let's be very clear on that. And clearly, the demand for these is also growing. We see that with our customers. So the demand for functional safety guarantees and security guarantees is ever increasing. Where does EDA stand? Back maybe a bit to what we discussed before. These complexities are ever increasing, and we will need EDA to do that. And the best way for EDA to do this is not dynamic verification and these kind of things, but it's probably rather in the area of static and formal proof. Formal proof of properties of the design, static proof of correctness of a design, or designs corresponding to functional safety standards that are being imposed by either the industry or the specific customer at hand. It's an area where SIGASI is already being used quite heavily, definitely in aerospace, defense, and that kind of industries. It's an area where we are investing heavily to increase our support for functional safety and security standards.
Oh, that's good. Good to hear. So on a higher level question, do we need domain-specific or market-specific specializations of EDA to make the design and verification easier?
The simple answer would be yes, we do. But then, of course, you have the economies of that answer. In all fairness, while IC design is the cornerstone of our digital societies, the whole digital element runs on chips, whether you like it or not, there's nothing to be done about that. Even though that's a fact, it's a niche market in itself. Within that niche market, to then further specialize into domain or market-specific solutions is wanted, perhaps, will have merit, will bring better results, but in often cases is not economically viable. Definitely for us as a company, we can testify to that. If you look at SIGASI, our HDL platform is pretty much a Swiss Army knife of dealing with hardware descriptions. And yes, each and every one of our customers uses the Swiss Army knife in a slightly different way. And some of them actually would like some of these elements of the knife to be bigger than the other. And sometimes we do that, like some customer-specific engineering and adding some customer-specific functionalities. But overall, it's economically hard to do that. So I think the answer there also is a bit of a mixed picture. Do we need these domain-specific specializations? Yes, that would definitely help. Can we afford it? I'd probably say, debatable.
Interesting. A final question, Dieter. How do customers normally engage with SIGASI? I mean, I was on your website this morning. You have a great website with customer testimonials, et cetera. And I also see you at conferences quite a bit, and maybe customer referrals, I guess. But how do people normally engage with SIGASI?
Yeah, we're definitely present at most of the industry's conferences. But the thing that you must have noticed visiting our website is that since this year's DAC, we've launched a community edition of our software. And before, we did not have that. Now we have it, and I would really like to invite everybody who wants to get to know us better, use it. Go online, whether you go through our website or whether you go through Marketplace, because it's a VS Code plugin, VS Code being the predominant platform of choice in this industry. Whether you then go to the marketplace or a website, as I said, download it and have a look around, play with the tool, and do let us know when you do that. Do let us know what works for you, what doesn't work for you. If you don't want to do that and you first want to read about us, then obviously the website is the place to be. Just to mention that it's not only a website about Sigassi, we also have a extensive number of blog posts there. We have an extensive insights compendium, so elements of general interest to people writing hardware descriptions, whether in Verilog or in VHDL. So it's indeed it's a good source of information for anybody working in that space. So these are the two ones that I would mention. Try out the community edition, visit the website.
Yeah, it is a great website. So thank you very much for your time. It's a pleasure meeting you, Dieter, and I think we've met at the conferences as well, and hopefully we can circle back for an update next year.
Absolutely, then. Thanks a lot for having us, as I said, and I really enjoyed talking. Thank you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day. Thank you.